So we get a chance to start a brand new series today. Very exciting series as we continue our renewing the focus here. We're talking about core values, the fundamental beliefs of an organization, the guiding principles, the guardrails, if you will. They define the playing field, much like lines in a sports event. They show where the end zone is, so you know where to get a touchdown, you know where to score. You even have lines to let you know how close you are or how far away you are. They show boundaries, what's out of bounds. They show penalty boxes. They show important places on the field or the court that you need to know about. They mark those out. They line those out for you. They connect the bases. Core values. They define a clear understanding of what is expected. If you see a thriving, successful organization, you can guarantee that they will have clearly defined and supported, lived out core values. And the opposite is true as well. If you see an organization that does not have clearly defined, clearly supported core values, you'll see an organization that is struggling to survive. Core values. Core values are often summed up in an organization's mission statements, and ours are, and we will be getting to that August 5th. You're going to hear me say August 5th, August 5th, August 5th a lot for the next month. So we're gearing up for August 5th. That'll be a fun day. We got some things planned, and it'll also be a reveal of the new mission statement. So renewing the focus. We've got our renewing the focus to remind you guys about that. A little over a year ago, we started a church-wide journey called this process renewing the focus. We had a team to look at the demographics surrounding the area of the church. We had another team to do a full SWOT analysis of all the ministries of the church, of the things outside the church. So we've got our SWOT, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So they did a SWOT analysis. We had another team that was leading prayer efforts, and yet another team for communication. We looked at the seven priorities of Jesus for his church. We looked at them in here in sermon form, and then we looked at them in our Sunday schools as we broke them down a little more there. The leadership compared Jesus' ideal, what Jesus' ideal was for the church, and we compared it to how we are operating as a church, what our operational is here. And through all of this, we have learned a lot about what we are currently, where we are currently as a church. And we hit a period of time recently where there really wasn't anything to communicate for the communications team. And a bit of a silence during this part of the journey. And here's why. He's getting it. He's working on it. That's all right. So there's not much way to segue there. So there's been a bit of a silence. Cue phone ring. There's been a bit of a silence during this part of the journey recently. And here's why. The leadership team has been meeting. And that's myself and the elders. And Dawn has been part of some of these meetings. We've also had Karen there on some of them because some of the topics we talked about during actual elders meetings. We've had additional meetings. We've had times on Sunday afternoon. We've had extra nights. We have a lot of different things where we've been talking about all of this information that's been given to us, the demographics, the SWOT, looking at the seven priorities, the ideal, and comparing that to the ideal and comparing that to our operational, the way we operate as a church. And we've been taking in all this data and really sort through it from the different things that the teams did and these different exercises we've been doing as a church. I've had phone meetings with Tim. He is here. Where did he go? Where's that little red shirt? There you are. There's Tim. So red or pink? It's red. Red stripes. All right. Well, but I've had many phone meetings with Tim, and we've had Tim come out and share with us and discuss some of this stuff with the leadership team. And from all of this, we have defined some very clear growth areas for our church. And we have a better understanding of the direction that we should be leading the church as God's leadership here. So that we can be more effective for God's kingdom. And let me tell you, these meetings have really been a joy to be a part of. I mean, we're taking all of this data and all this information, and anybody that's worked with any kind of statistics or data, there's different ways you can look at it, different ways you can understand it, different ways you can make sense out of it. Well, we've got this and this and this, and it's not always 2 + 2 = 4. And so we've all had our individual ideas. We've all had our individual thoughts and opinions, but it's really been a pleasure working through this because all of our thoughts and opinions, we've been working through them with just a real health about it and a real unity of mind, even though we've had some differing angles to the information. When we've come together, it's just been complete unity in the way we've talked about it and the way we bounce things about with each other. Well, I see this and I see this. Well, what does this mean? How can we put all this together? And it really has been a joy to work through this. And the consensus that we've come on many of the items that we've talked about in these meetings, it's not been a kind of consensus like, okay, you win type of consensus. It's been consensus there where when we come to a full group decision, we're saying, okay, we can all get behind this fully and fully support this. And I tell you, that has been awesome to be a part of that. And I want to share that with you because you don't get a chance to see that. So that's been really, really awesome to be a part of that. One of the key items that we have been working on most recently are the core values and the mission statements. And these are needed elements in a place, and we needed them in place before we continue on with the dream team and the dream focus, and John's going to be heading that up. And we've got some super exciting events coming up that John and the dream team are going to be in charge of, and those will be coming up soon after this series. And we're shooting for somewhere in September. We'll see how that works out. And so keep your eyes open for that. We've got those will be exciting, exciting events. And there'll be whole church-wide activities to continue putting kind of the icing on the cake of our direction and our vision and where we're going to be headed for the next 3 years. But before we get to that, we have this month. And I have the honor of being the voice, the mouth of the leadership, to be able to share with you all these things that we've been talking about for months and months and months with the leadership team, these core values. And we believe that these are very, very important tools that we will need as a church to move forward as a leadership. They will help define how we do ministry here. They will define what is important to us as a church. They will serve as guardrails, guides in our direction to help us to focus ministry and to focus our efforts so that we can be more effective. These core values are thoroughly biblical. So much. When I brought, we came up with the core values, the mission statement, and I brought to the elders, they said, all right, well, we know this is biblical. Dusty, connect these core values to some of the scriptures that fit with these. Well, I came back and they were like, oh, that's too much scripture. And they're just so biblical. There was just so much scripture to attach to them. And so we've decided once we get our information out, we don't want to jump ahead with that. We want to be able to release one core value at a time this month. But once we do, we're going to have some half sheets that will be available at the Information Center. We'll have some brochure type things that will outline some of these things. And so you guys are going to have some tools to be able to take it home and digest it a little bit, to be able to share it with other people. These things are going to be repeated ad nauseum. And I will not apologize for that. They are our core values, and you will hear them over and over and over and over and over again. We will be able to repeat them in our sleep. Amen? All right. So we believe these are very important tools. And so let's do this. Core value number one. Da-da-da. God is first. In all things, following him is the priority. God is first, not second, not third. Fifth is right out. First. God is first. Number one. In all things, following him is the priority. In all things. All. All means everything. Nothing is outside of this. All means all. All things. Following him. In all things, following him is the priority. Following him. This is the very verbiage that Jesus uses multiple times in his earthly ministry. To follow him. To put our feet in his footprints. To go where he would want us to go. To do what he would want us to do. To say what he would want us to say. To follow him. To imitate him. To do all we can to mimic his life example that when he was here on earth, to follow him. God is first in all things. Following him is the priority. The priority. There's one. There's one priority. It's singular. One. The priority is to follow God, to put him first. So this is our first core value. So let's read this all together. Read this with me. Nope, go back. I want the priority still on the screen. There we go. All right, so let's read that first priority all together because you guys are going to know it. I'm going to know it. We're all going to have this, okay? So God is first in all things. Following him is the priority. Seems like this might be a little anticlimactic. You know, here's our new core values. Here they are. The first one is, drum roll please. God is first. You know, some of you might be thinking, well, duh. We're a church. Shouldn't this go without saying? I mean, doesn't that go without saying? Let me share a little bit with you about these meetings that we had. We originally had four core values that we were working through. We found the mission statement that we believe that God was leading us through all of this information and stuff that we had taken in and through praying and talking, and we came up with a solid mission statement. We're like, all right, that's the one. Now let's develop some core values. And we developed out of that mission statement, we developed four core values. And as we were working through the wording of these four core values, we kept finding wording, similar wording that kept showing up in it. And so when you're trying to define four things, and you've got the same idea that's showing up in four things, you try to word it differently so it doesn't feel like you're saying the same thing over and over and over and over. Does that make sense? So in this thing, we had something about where God is first, and it kind of leaned into this core value, and then this core value had another thing about how God was a priority, and so we had that, and we had this other thing, how God is the authority or whatever. And so as those things started to develop and build, and we started really working with the wordsmithing, we were like, you know what? God is first. That's showing up in a few of these. Let's just state the obvious. Let's state that as number one. And let the other four core values fall in its shadow. Fall in the shadow of number one, the number one core value. And that's how we came out with this one being the first, actually the fifth, that came out of our meetings. And it quickly rose to being the first. And that's how that all came out. And as much as we would like to think, and as much as we as a church, as much as we as a leadership would think, well, doesn't that go without saying? You know, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God in the Old Testament, Jesus speaking in the New Testament, they both state this very clearly. For God, it doesn't go without saying. He's very clear in stating this up front and foremost and first, here is my expectation. And for God, it doesn't go without saying. So as we looked into this, we were like, okay, this makes perfect sense for us to state this. Because God stated this. If you go back to the Big Ten, we talked about the Big Ten last year, the Ten Commandments, the Ten Statements of God. You go back to those Big Ten, the statements, God says, I am the Lord your God. You will put me first. You're not going to have any other gods before me. You're not going to worship anything else but me. You're going to put my name first. You're going to honor my name. So God uses the first three statements of the Ten Commandments to very clearly lay this out. So for God, it didn't go without saying. Let's read those real quick. Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So God didn't let this go without saying these first three statements of the Ten Commandments, saying you will put God first. Jesus, when he was asked about the greatest command, very famous piece of scripture, and these are not just little obscure pieces of scripture, Ten Commandments, big part of the Old Testament. Jesus being asked, what is the greatest commandment? This is a huge focus, both of these passages. Let's go and read this one. One of them, an expert of the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Let's leave that up on the screen just for a few minutes. So someone asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? It's our relationship with God. It's to love God first. To put God first, to love him with everything you have, with all that you are, to love him with your heart and your mind and your soul. And Jesus answers the question, what's the greatest commandment? But I want us to take note that Jesus not only says this is the commandment of greatest value, that this is the most important commandment, but Jesus adds, and I don't want this to slip by us here, the question was, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus answers, here's what it is, and it's not just the greatest commandment, it's the what? It's the first. It's the first and greatest commandment. So Jesus puts a priority on this commandment. It's number one. It is first. So these are big deal scriptures. God did not let it go without saying that he was to be first. So let's unpack this. What does this mean for us as a church? How do we use this as a guardrail in the things that we're doing here? Well, we're going to take these two passages and we're going to lay them on top of each other. Jesus connecting these three personal connections, the heart, the mind, and the soul. And the first three statements of the Ten Commandments, the three statements that God makes. So let's write down this first place of application, that God is in charge. God is in charge. That means we bow our ideas and our will to him. You go back to the Ten Statements, the Ten Commandments. God says, I am the Lord your God. That's how he opens the whole Ten Commandments, with that statement. I am the Lord your God. He starts with that, a clear understanding of that relationship. Here's my position. Here's who I am. I am Lord and God. That is me. That is who I am. That is my relationship to you. God was very clear about that. God is the authority. God is in charge. And Jesus says that we are to love God with all of our mind. Love God with all your mind. As a church, we collectively bow our knees to him, but we collectively bow our heads to him as well. And not just the physical head, but we bow what's inside our head. We bow our brain. We bow our thoughts. We bow our ideas to Jesus, to God. We love him so much that we love him with all of our mind, with all of our thoughts, with all of our ideas. And we bow them to him. And so as a church, we're going to be looking at that. And we're going to be a lot more selective with that. If you have an idea, bow that idea before God. Bathe it in prayer. And as a church, we will bow our ideas before God because God is in charge and we are going to love him with all of our mind. We might have a good idea. There are plenty of good ideas out there. But as we bow it before God and we take those ideas before God, there might be other things that need to happen in God's plan before that idea takes place. That idea might need time to marinate. Sometimes when we get a good idea, we think, oh, this is a great idea. And we go, you know, and we push for it. We're like, this is a great idea because I came up with it. You know, it's a good idea. We need to bow our ideas before God because we're working as a team. We're working as a group, a family. And so we've got other ideas that God's bringing to people. And so if we're all bowing our ideas before God, then they're going to work together in unity. And there's going to be some time. You might have a good idea, but it might not be what God wants for our church here. Sure, it's a great idea. But it might not be what centers and focuses our ministry here at Miami Town. It might be outside of the guidelines. It might be outside of the guardrails. That doesn't mean that it's bad. It just means that it's not right for where we're headed and what we're doing and what's next in our sequence of events. So we bow our ideas before God. This is going to help us sort things out. Because God's in charge. And God has a specific area he wants us to be in. If we want to just continue to meander and kind of wander and move around, then that's what's going to happen if we don't take the ideas and bow them before God. God is going to help us to focus. God is going to help us to gain a clarity on what he wants with our efforts and our energy and our emotions as a church. And the way we're going to get there is bowing our ideas before him. You know, sometimes people's ideas take first precedent in church. We've seen this happen, and sometimes it's a good idea, and we say, well, that's a good idea. There's no reason why we shouldn't do it. And so we do that idea, and another idea comes up, and we say, that's a good idea, too. There's no reason why we shouldn't do it. And then we're diversified, but we're not focused. We've got this ministry over here, and we've got this ministry over here, and we've got this ministry over here, and they're good ministries. But what are we focused as a church? And this is going to help us there. And sometimes people have good ideas, and we don't want to hurt their feelings. We don't want to say, well, that's a good idea, but it's not right for where we're headed. That's really tough in leadership. That's going to happen sometimes. Okay, I want you to know that as a leadership, that if we're going to bring an idea before you guys, it's something that we have thought about, we've prayed about, we've sought out. Is this what God wants for us as a church specifically? So if something comes from the leadership, you know it's going to be something specific and something that God has led us to. And then we've taken it through this filter. And so we're not expecting something of you guys that we're not going to be doing ourselves. And we're going to be extracurricular of our own ideas and thoughts to make sure that they fit in this. Because we want to lead. We want to lead properly. And we want to lead out in this. And there are going to be some times where leadership says, well, let's postpone that idea. It's a good idea, but we're not ready for it yet. We have some other things working, and you're just going to have to trust. There's going to be some times where leadership's going to be like, great idea, not where we're headed, not what we're wanting to do. Okay, and that's not easy. But we as a church, we're going to have to focus on that. Part of God being in charge is trusting that God has given to the church, very clearly in Ephesians 4, that Christ has given to the church leaders who have been gifted and empowered supernaturally by God's Holy Spirit to lead his church. So some of understanding that God is in charge is trusting in the leadership that he's placed in charge. Okay, and I speak for myself. I've had some times where I've been super excited about some of the visions that God has brought to me, brought to the leadership, and we just haven't been able to get that going. And so I've learned a lot on how to be a good steward of vision from God. I've been learning the processes of that through the different things that have happened here. As a leadership, we've been growing and moving. The elders have been moving and growing. And learning how to better lead and to better involve and to bring everyone along. And I think we as a church we've been learning how to be better supporters of leadership. I think it would be true to say that at one time it was kind of us and them mentality. That's not the case now. It's us. At least the temperature I'm getting, the temperature gauge I'm getting from the church, am I correct? Is this what I'm feeling? Yeah? Okay, you guys aren't tremendously convincing, but it's what I'm feeling, at least from a majority of you that I connect with, is that divide, that gulf, it's not there. You have God, leadership, and the church, and we're all in this together. God has an order to things, but we're still in this all together. So God is first. We bow our ideas before him. And we bow our will to him. Jesus said that we should pray in the great Lord's Prayer as he shares. your kingdom come, your what? Will be done. When Jesus is in the garden, he exemplifies this. He says, not my what? Will, but your will be done. God's will is what should be most important to us. And the only way that's going to happen is for us as a church collectively to bow our brains, to bow our ideas, to bow our will to him. And that is behind everything we do. Your will be done, not mine. Not because it's my idea, not because I'm excited about something, not because I've got a passion. It's your will, Father, and then your will fuel that passion. Your will forward that idea, will move that idea forward. We have a lot of opinions. Some are good. Some are not so good. God's church cannot be run by the will of man. We must be dependent on his will. We must bow our will to him. The leadership team has been leading out on this. We've been very diligent in seeking God out on what God's will is for Miami Town. God says, I am the Lord your God. That's who God is. That's not just Old Testament. That's not just Old Covenant. That is who God is to his people. And Jesus says, if you want to obey the first and greatest command, you love God with what? Your, there we go. That's the one I was getting to. That's the one we're focusing on right now. Love God with all your mind. So we're going to strive to live this way, not only as a church collectively, but also as individuals, because these are great, these core values are great core values for us as individuals. And so we're going to have a little homework as we're building through. Every week we're going to have some homework, a little bit of a challenge to work on these as individuals so that when we are using these as a church, we've practiced. We're ready for it. We're ready for game day. So this week I want us to focus on this, that God is in charge. And that when you have an idea or a thought that you pause and you start practicing now to just submit that idea to God. Whatever it is in your personal life, how you're living, whenever you have a thought or an idea, and even if it seems silly, should I go with Coke or Pepsi? And you know God would tell you Coke. But but everything, and it might seem silly on some of those things, but do it to practice. Okay, in any sports, any kind of physical discipline, you do some things that are just repetitious over and over and over and over and over and over again to practice the same thing. And that builds into something bigger. That builds into something stronger. So this week, submit as many thoughts as you can think of. Whenever you've got a thought or an idea, just take that real quick. Pause your life. Submit that to God. When you have a decision to make, pause that decision and seek God's will. Your will be done. So, another application to this core value. God is first in all things. Following him is the priority. In God we trust. Let's write that down. We will live and act in faith. In God we trust. We will live and act in faith. God follows that opening statement, I am the Lord your God, with, you will have no other gods before me. You will put nothing before, I will be first. There will be nothing that challenges me there. This is where I'm going to be. This is a devotion that you will be devoted to God. And God is very clear about this. You will not worship idols. You will not make for yourself for an idol. You won't worship anything that's above or in the middle or below. You won't worship anything. It's me first, it's me only. And God's very, very clear about that. You don't put your trust in other things. You trust God. You don't put your faith in other gods. You put your faith in God alone. And this matches up very nicely with what Jesus says about loving God. He says you will love God with all your hearts. It's devotion. It's a heart thing. You'll love God with all of your heart, faith, trust. That's devotion. That's dedication. That's dependence. Where is your heart? See, radical results don't happen without radical faith. Do you want to be a mediocre church? Then it takes mediocre faith. If you want to be a radical church, it demands radical faith. We can't get there without radical faith. And there's no doubt which of the two churches God wants his church to be. God wants his church to not shrink back, but to be a church who lives by faith. The righteous will live by faith. He wants us to be a church of people who live by faith and not by sight. Jesus himself, when he's describing his church to his disciples, he says these words right here. He says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Does it sound like a radical church or does it sound like a mediocre church? Radical church. It is very clear the kind of church God wants us to be. Now it's up to us to decide whether we're going to be obedient and follow and be a church of radical faith. Because that takes all of us. We can't just do that. We can't do it on just the faith of one person. We can't do it just on the faith of the leadership. That's not going to get us where we need to go. It's got to be faith collective. It's got to be us as a church acting in faith, acting in trust. If our ideas and our will, if those have been bowed before him, then the ideas that pass through that filter, then they're shared as ideas that we believe God wants for us. And once those ideas are out there, we must be faithful. And ideas not going to be enough to cut it. We've gotten excited about ideas here before. And that's where it's gone. Church, we have to have the faith to step out on an exciting idea. We have to have the faith to trust in God. If we believe that those ideas have been bowed before God and that we are seeking God's will and we come out and we say, okay, this ministry is what we believe, all of us, that God is leading us in this direction, then church, we need to get behind that in faith and make it happen. We should be faithful. We should trust God. We should step out. Will it be scary at times? Of course it will. Will it be risky? Will it feel risky? For sure. Oh, but listen. Listen. Will it be exciting? Yes. Yes, it will be. Will you have this amazing feeling of fulfillment that we are doing what God wants us to do as a church, that we are being effective for his kingdom, that we are being the Miami Town Church of Christ that God wants us to be? Absolutely. All of those feelings come from acting in faith. I don't want to lead a church to safety. There's been a lot of that. I don't want to be part of a leadership team that constantly plays it safe, that caters to the believers and the comfort of the church. I want to be part of a leadership that constantly thinks, how can we live out our faith? How can we trust God more? And I believe we're there. I want to be part of a church that constantly thinks, how do we live by faith? How are we going to trust God more as a church? Church, I turned 44 a few months ago. I'm getting old. I've invested in your lives for 13 years. It'll be 13 years next month. I think it's clear that I love you. I think I've proven that you matter, that you're valuable. Goodness. I think I've proven that I'm dedicated, that I'm going to persevere with you. I think you know me well enough to know that I am not good at giving up. Just not good. To a fault. Guys, we're in this together. And we're going to work through this together. Our leadership. And you think about the guys we have. Sometimes, a couple weeks ago, they were all three up here on stage. Ryan, Kurt, Chuck, These guys, they lead with their heart. They lead with their mind. They love you guys. They value the church here. More importantly, they love God and they seek after him. And you don't need me to tell you that. That's the beauty of that. Most of you know these men well enough to know at least that about them. And that's great. And you guys, your heart, as you've gone through and we've been refined with fire, and here we are. This is us. We're ready for this, church. We're ready to step out, to follow God first. In God we trust. Not just a phrase on our currency this morning as we're talking. In God we trust is a statement of faith. It's a statement of four words that acknowledges that God is first in my life and in my actions. That God is first. Not our fear of the unknown, not our fear of failure. That's not first. What's first is God. That God is first, not our personal comfort. That's not what is first. What's first is God. Personal comfort's later. God is first, not our questions. Our doubt is not first. Our faith in God is first. And that's what will rule us. God is first. Our faith in him, our trust in him. Our opposition or the opposition of the few is not first. That's not going to derail. That's not going to distract or detract. Our first objective is to cater to God, not the resistance. And that's what's going to be happening here. And it's going to be great. God is first. We will live by faith. We will act in faith. We will put our trust in God alone and no other gods. We will love God with all of our heart, and that will be a guardrail not just for our church, but once again, that's a great guardrail for us as individuals. So let's practice that this week as we gear up as a whole church. Let's increase our faith as a church. Let's listen to God's voice more attentively as individuals. When you're offered a chance to act in faith, try it. Step out. Exercise those muscles of faith. In your prayer life, submit more and more trust to God. Be bold in your prayer life. Ask him for times that you can step out in faith. Ask him for things that will be brought into your life that will stretch your faith, that will move you into just another level higher of your trust in him. So God is first in all things. Following him is the priority. God is in charge. We bow our ideas and our will to him because he says, I am the Lord your God. Jesus says that we are to love him with our mind. In God we trust. We will live and act in faith. You shall have no other gods before me, and we will love God with our hearts. Number three, God is true north. God is true north on our moral compass. We will think and behave as God's children. As you continue down the Ten Commandments, the Ten Statements, after the spiel on idols, God says, you will not misuse the name of your Lord and God. Another way of understanding that, you will not misrepresent. We talked about this commandment last year when we talked about the Ten Commandments, that this isn't just about verbal use of God's word, God's name. It's not just to misuse God's name, but it's a misrepresentation. God was forming a nation that was going to represent him. You're going to be my nation. You're going to be my people, the chosen ones. And he says, you're not going to misuse my name. You're not going to misrepresent my name. And this translates beautifully over to us as Christians. We bear the name of his son. We bear the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Christians, little Christs. We should take this to heart just as much as they would have taken it to heart in the old covenant. that we will not misrepresent God's name, that we will carry it in a way that brings him honor. This goes hand in hand with Jesus saying you will love God with all of your soul. Your soul, that's the core of who you are. That's who makes you you. That's your soul. And Jesus says what's inside the core of who you are, it's going to find its way out eventually. It's going to show through your behavior. It's going to show by the way that you think, you talk, the way that you handle yourself, the things that you do. And so we worship God with all of our soul. And if we do that, then we're going to obey that commandment from years and years and years and years and years ago. And we're not going to misrepresent God if we love him with all of our soul. Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to obey my commandments. And this is how we're going to operate as a church. God is true north. Behavior that is outside of what God has lined out for us is out of bounds. The leadership will be more attentive to that. The spiritual health and direction of our church has become an increased priority in the leadership, in our discussions, the way we look at things, the way we handle things. As our leadership model has been shifting a little from not just handling business, but this understanding of really being spiritual shepherds of the flock. And for the spiritual health to be a higher priority than where money is spent or what repairs get made and whatever. Spiritual health of the church. We as a church, we will make a greater focus on this. Our spiritual health is a big deal, and we need to think of it as a big deal as a church. God is first. In all things, following him is the priority. So our spiritual health has got to be a big deal so that we can function the way God wants us to function as a church. That we will operate as a church as we follow the tenets of God. That we will serve one another. That we will live a life of selflessness and service. That we will operate with grace, gentleness, kindness, goodness towards one another. That we will honor and respect. That we will above all love. Not just those in this room, but we'll love everywhere we go. And there are lists of things that God does not want us to be involved in. Things like causing division and dissension, spreading rumors and gossip. If God's word says not to do something, we should be serious about not doing it. And if God's word says to do something, we should be serious about doing it. One of those things that feels like it should go without saying, but it surely doesn't hurt to say it and reiterate it to bring it back to the focus of our minds. This will not be a place where people are torn down. Instead, it will be a place where people are encouraged and lifted up. Amen? See, and not because it's just the nice thing to do. Church, we're taking that to another level. We do that because that is what God wants for his church. That's why we do it. Not just because, oh, well, it would be a nice thing. It's nice for us to be this way. This would be a great place for outsiders to come in and experience Jesus' love because this is a good idea. No, it's not because it's a good idea. It's because it's God's idea and it's God's commandment. This is how we're going to live. And that's how we're going to view our... The soundboard's going to have to boot up again. Did it boot right back up? Really? Is it still recording? I want to make sure that this is available for people because these are important messages to be able to go back to and listen again. All right. We're good. That should be good. That's battery powered. Okay. So hopefully we're good. Otherwise, I'll be in here Monday preaching this to an empty room because these need to be available online so that you can go and review them and so that we can share those with those that are not here and that those that are going to be part of our flock a year from now that they can go back and listen and say, okay, here are the core values. You need to go and listen to these. All right, we will do his will because God is first. We will support each other because God is first. We will serve each other because God is first. We will love our neighbor as ourselves because God is first. All of those things that are great things to do and great things to be, we're going to do not just because they're great things. We're going to do them because God is first and we are being obedient to him in those spiritual matters. Because we love God with all of our soul, with all of what's inside of us. And we will not misrepresent his name. And so like the others today, we will do well to practice this in our individual lives as well. With all of your soul, with all of your behavior, with everything that you think about, to walk through every moment of every day thinking, I have a huge name tag above me. Not just one of these little, hello, my name is Dusty. But like this super, like neon light name tag, I'm a Christian. And we will live in such a way that we represent God as a child of his. And we really crank down on our moral behavior. Really focus on your value system and how that reflects or contradicts God's value system. Really evaluate how we're going to live. And then some positive things here real quick. When God is first, some things to look forward to. Oh, we're getting the computer booted back up. You guys have your bulletins right there. Pull your bulletins out. If you haven't been taking notes, this is a good time to pull them out because what I'm going to say is right there in your bulletins. When God is first, we will see unity. Write that down. We will see unity. When God is first, we will see unity. Our heads will be together and joined through obedience to God. So write this down. When God is first, we will see his kingdom advance. That's your second bullet point there. When God is first, we will see his kingdom advance. Our hearts will beat as one. Trusting God, walking by faith, not by sight. Trusting no other gods before our God. And that's when we will see God's kingdom advance. Here at Miami Town. When God is first, we will be the example. That will happen. Our souls will look like Jesus' soul. Our church, full of souls that look like Jesus, we will be put together to form his body. The church, growing up to appear like the mature existence of Christ. We will be the example as a collective body. So God is first in all things. He, following him, is the priority. God is in charge. In God we trust. And God is true north. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for all of the things that you've been doing here at Miami Town. We thank you for Tim and the Center for Church leadership and all the help they've given to us. We thank you for the leadership that's here and all the many meetings and conversations that we've had and the men that you have brought and gifted to lead at this time. We've had other leaders at different times that have fit what the church needed at that time. And I believe that this is very much an Esther moment, that for such a time as this, that we have in place what we need to have in place to move forward. Father, help us as a church to put you first, to really, really dig into this core value and to just make it part of our bloodstream as a church. Father, that we bow our thoughts and our wills to you because you're in charge, that we bow our heart to you, our devotion to you, and we live by faith, Father, because we trust you. And Father, that we would worship you, we would love you with all of our soul, that we would represent you, that we would follow all the things that you'd want us to be doing in our spiritual life, that your morals would be our morals, your values would be our values, as individuals and as a church. Thank you so very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.